Oh, Holy Father, we bow before you this morning in humble adoration. And like the disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration, we say, Lord, it is good to be here. Father, our desire this day is that we might worship you in spirit and in truth. That your Son, our Savior, might be exalted. We thank you for him. Father, we thank you for sending Jesus. Father, we pray that you would help us to find our needs met in him. And we ask you these things in his name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, saints, a brief reminder this morning about something that God highly values. If we would be godly, like God, godlike, godly, we should pay close attention to the things that God values, and we should value those things as well. Please open your Bibles to the fourth gospel, chapter 8. The gospel according to St. John, chapter 8. It was common in the early church for Holy Scripture to be read to the people. I hope you won't have scriptural overload today. We'll commence our reading in verse 31. Please stand with me for the reading of Holy Scripture. The Bible says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, 'If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.' They answered him, 'We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?' Jesus answered them, 'Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your father.' They answered and said unto him, 'Abraham is our father.' Jesus saith unto them, 'If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father.' Then they said to him, 'We be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God.' Jesus said unto them, 'If God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, 'Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil?' Jesus answered, 'I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death.' Then said the Jews unto him, 'Now we know thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? And the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself?' Jesus answered, 'If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him, and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of Holy Scripture. You may be seated. In the 8th chapter of his epistle to the Romans, the Apostle Paul teaches, He is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Romans 8, 28 and 29. In his letter to the church at Galatia, Paul teaches the saints, If you be Christ's, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Galatians 3, 29. There are some confused theologians who have tried to set Paul against Jesus. Even some who have claimed that Paul is the founder of Christianity, rather than our Savior, the one who inaugurated the new covenant in his own blood. But beloved, listen. Jesus did not get his doctrine from Paul. Paul got his doctrine from Jesus. Paul explicitly claims this. In his letter to the Galatians, he tells them, I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Galatians 1, 11 and 12. Paul got his doctrine from Jesus. So listen. Paul's teaching that Jewishness is not genetic, is not primarily the teaching of Paul. It's the teaching of Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God. So look back to John 8 and understand, listen, saints, understand, Jesus is not confused about genealogy and ethnic history. He lets these Jews know that he understands their pedigree. He understands. Look there in verses 37 and 38, he tells them, I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. Notice here, Jesus assures them that he understands their ethnicity. I know that you are Abraham's seed. I know. But then, he, a Jew, profoundly questions their heritage by questioning their ancestry. He speaks of his father, he says, my father, and their father, he says, and your father, implying that he, Jesus, a Jew, has a different father than they have, who are also Jews. Do you see? Now listen, they understand what he's saying. They do. Because they immediately respond by saying, Abraham is our father. Abraham is our father. Now, you probably know that to contradict is to speak a word against. Contra, against, and dict, like dictation or dictionary, a word against. They say, Abraham is our father. And Jesus immediately contradicts them. He speaks a word against them. And he says, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But you seek to kill me. Somebody who's told you the truth. The truth I've heard from God. Abraham didn't do that. You do the deeds of your father. Now, brothers and sisters, do you understand what's happening here? Jesus is speaking profound spiritual truth, but they do not have ears to hear it. He says that. They don't have ears to hear it. And though they hear his words resonating on their eardrums, they have no understanding at all of what he is teaching them. And what is he teaching? What is he teaching? Well, beloved, listen. Listen. He's teaching that something may be physically true, historically true, but spiritually false, morally false. Are they sons of Abraham? Are they the actual offspring of the patriarch? Physically? Yes. Historically? Yes. Spiritually? No. Morally? No. Now, they understand enough of what he's saying to get offended. And so they escalate. In verse 33 and verse 39, they had claimed Abraham as their father. But now they escalate in verse 41 and they claim God, Theos, is our father. And once again, the master contradicts them. He speaks a word against them. And he said, you are of your father, the devil. Verse 44. Tough, huh? Now, when something is new, we sometimes say it is novel. That's a novel idea. Right? Well, here, the Son of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity, God in the flesh, here, Jesus of Nazareth proposes a novel test of pedigree, lineage, kinship. They were very interested in bloodlines. Do you remember? We know this man whence he is, but when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. John 7:27. He can't be the Messiah. No way. He can't be the Messiah. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and of Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. Mark 6:3. He's not the right bloodline. We know him. He's from down there in Nazareth. They were so interested in bloodlines. Listen, that's what they valued. But not so, listen, not so with the Almighty. Not so with the Savior. God was not interested in the bloodline. God was interested in the faith line. When a group of Sadducees and Pharisees, Jews, came to Jesus' baptism, Jesus said to them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned thee to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth fruits meet for repentance, and say not within yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say unto you, God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Matthew 3:7-9. Now, here's a little sermon within the sermon, but saints, listen. If God can create Adam from the dust, And God can raise up children to Abraham from the stones. We shouldn't spend too much time worrying about the physics of the resurrection. You understand? God can do it. Now, you probably know that etymologically, Abraham means father of a multitude. When God made Abraham into the first Jew, by the divine fiat, he took this pagan from the Ur of the Chaldees and made him a Jew. And when God did that, he changed his name. You remember this. His name had been Abram, which means high father. And God changed his name to Abraham, which means father of a multitude. But listen, listen, saints. Abraham is not merely the name of an individual. It is the name of the patriarch, but it is not merely the name of a person. When his name is pronounced by the Son of God, listen, when Abraham's name is pronounced by the Son of God, it is a type of a specific kind of life. The faith life. The Abrahamic life. Life that in obedience to the command of God takes its staff and goeth out, not knowing whither it goeth. Life that sojourneth in a land of promise, as in a strange country, while looking for another city which hath foundations, whose maker and builder is God. Life that when tried gives up that which is most precious, accounting that the God who gives life is able to restore it, even if he has to defeat death to do so. Beloved, listen. When Jesus, the Christ, speaks of Abraham, he speaks not only of the faithful patriarch, he speaks of the paradigm of faith. You know, Jesus speaks of children of light and sons of darkness. And we know what he means, don't we? Don't we? It's a way of speaking. They're children of light. They are sons of darkness. Saints, listen, listen. What we're saying this morning is that it wasn't Paul who changed the definition of Jewishness. It was Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were interested in the letter of the law, but Jesus was interested in the spirit of it. Here, Jesus explains to them what it means to be of the lineage of Abraham. And listen, it's not a bloodline. It's a faith line. It's not a bloodline. It's a faith line. This is the teaching of the capital W, Word of God. This is the teaching of Jesus. This is the teaching of our God. And later on, it's the teaching of the great Apostle Paul. Later. Here, listen, here in John 8, the Savior explicates a divine principle that which is physically and historically true may be spiritually and morally false. Listen, men may be physically kin. They may be genealogically related, but spiritually alien, morally unconnected. These unbelieving Jews that Jesus was speaking to, they said, "We are Abraham's children." But Jesus said, "No, no, you're mistaken." They pulled out their birth certificate. Said, "Yes, we are. Take a look." And the Son of God responds, "Your papers make no difference. You bear no resemblance whatsoever to Abraham." Do you see? If you have not the faith of Abraham, claim not the name of Abraham. Listen, it is an abuse of the blessed name of the faithful patriarch Abraham to claim that name without displaying the faith that ennobled that name. Do you see, brethren, how God, Jesus, strips men of their pretensions? It's not race, color, creed, bloodline that the God-man values. Show me your faith line. The faithful dignity of Abraham is not handed down like some family heirloom, like some artifact of history. Every woman, every man must support his or her own claim in their generation. Those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Galatians 3:9, that's the New International Version. Listen. If you are Abraham's children, you will do the works of Abraham. If you are Abraham's children, you will do the works of Abraham. If we are Abraham's children, we will do the works of Abraham. What was the work of Abraham? Listen, the Bible says Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know you therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Galatians 3, verses 6 through 9. When the apostolic writer to the Hebrews surveys God's trophy case of grace in Hebrews chapter 11, he writes, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is on the seashore, innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that received the promises, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence he also received him in a figure. Hebrews 11, 8 through 19. Listen, beloved. The work of Abraham was faith. The work of Abraham was believing The work of Abraham, listen, was and is the work of God. A great crowd of hearers cried out to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and they said, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom He hath sent." John 6, 28 and 29. Listen. Listen, saints. Friends, let me assure you, it's the teaching of Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, that the most blessed thing, the most righteous thing, the most God-pleasing thing you could possibly do is believe on Jesus. He said, Jesus said, "This is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." John 6, 40. Paul taught that Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Galatians 3, 6. Now, look, listen. I am sure I don't understand everything that means. I'm quite sure I don't understand everything that means. Other translations say Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness, the International Version. Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, New American Standard Version. Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness, English Standard Version. Like I said, I'm sure I don't understand everything that means, but in addition to being a preacher, I'm an accountant. And all of those verbs, listen, all of those verbs, accounted, credited, reckoned, counted, in all those verbs I hear terms of valuation. When we started, listen, I reminded you that God values some things. And what God values is of supreme importance. And we, Christians, we should value the same things that God values. Amen. Listen, God values believing. God values faith so much. He values it so much that when He saw faith in His servant Abraham, God said, "He's righteous. He's righteous." He saw the faith and He said, "Righteous." Counted, accounted, credited, reckoned. I reckon He's righteous. God looked at this faithful man and said of him, "He is a righteous man." His faithfulness was accounted, credited, reckoned, counted by the Almighty as righteousness. Now, saints, salvation is of the Lord. Jonah 2:9. The apostolic teaching is that by grace are you saved through faith. And that, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Now, I told you it's going to be scripture heavy this morning. I want you to hear some words from the great Apostle Paul in his epistle to the Romans, chapter 9. This learned Pharisee, a student of Gamaliel, a receiver of myriad revelations directly from Jesus, he writes and he says, "I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen according to the flesh. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from their race, according to the flesh, is the Christ, who is God over all, blessed forever. Amen. But it is not as though the word of God has failed, for not all who are descended from Israel belong to Israel. And not all are children of Abraham, because they are his offspring, but through Isaac shall your offspring be named. This means that it is not the children of the flesh who are the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as offspring. For this is what the promise said: about this time next year I will return, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only so, but also when Rebekah had conceived children by one man, our forefather Isaac, though they were not yet born, and had done nothing either good or bad, in order that God's purpose of election might continue, not because of works, but because of him who calls, she was told, "The older shall serve the younger." As it is written, "Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated." What shall we say then? Is there injustice on God's part? By no means. For he says to Moses, "I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion." So then it depends not on human will or exertion, but on God, who has mercy. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, "For this very purpose I have raised you up, that I might show my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth." So then he has mercy on whomever he wills, and he hardens whomever he wills. You will say to me then, "Why does he still find fault? For who can resist his will?" But who are you, O man, to answer back to God? Well, what does molded say to its molder? "Why have you made me like this? Has the potter no right over the clay to make out of the same lump one vessel for honorable use and another for dishonorable use?" What if God, desiring to show his wrath and to make known his power, has endured with much patience vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, in order to make known the riches of his glory for vessels of mercy, which he has prepared beforehand for glory? Even us, whom he has called, not from the Jews only, but also from the Gentiles. As indeed he says in Hosea, "Those who were not my people, I will call my people. And her who was not beloved, I will call beloved. And in every place where it was said to them, 'You are not my people,' there they will be called sons of the living God." And Isaiah cries out concerning Israel, "Though the number of the sons of Israel be as the sand of the sea, only a remnant of them will be saved. For the Lord will carry out his sentence upon the earth fully and without delay." And as Isaiah predicted, if the Lord of hosts had not left us offspring, we would have been like Sodom and become like Gomorrah. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained it? That is, a righteousness that is by faith? But that Israel, who pursued a law that would lead to righteousness, did not succeed in reaching that law? Why? Because they did not pursue it by faith, but, as it were, based on works. They have stumbled over the stumbling stone. As it is written, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." Brothers and sisters, honored friends, God greatly values faith. He values it so much that when he sees it in a person, he accounts it as righteousness. He values not bloodline. He has made all men of earth of one blood and appointed their habitations He values not bloodline. He values faith line. He values faith line. Listen, if you're here today believing upon Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, looking to Him for your hope, your health, your salvation, listen, rejoice. Rejoice. Almighty God accounts your faith as righteousness. If you're here today and you can't believe, if you have no faith, listen, I counsel you. This church counsels you. Cry out for mercy. Because, listen, faith is a gift from God. In every case, please listen to me, in every case in the Gospels where a sinner cried out for mercy, Jesus was pleased to show mercy. In every case, Jesus can give faith to the faithless. Listen, all of us who now believe didn't used to. We didn't used to. So cry out to the Savior. He can give you faith. And He assures all who would come to Him. Him that cometh to Me, I will in no wise cast out. John 6:37. Behold the potter and the clay. He forms His vessels as He please. Such is our God, and such are we, the subjects of His high decrees. Doth not the workman's power extend o'er all the mass which part to choose, and mold it for a nobler end, and which to leave for viler use? May not the sovereign Lord on high dispense His favors as He will, choose some to life while others die, and yet be just and gracious still? What if, to make His terror known, He lets His patience long endures, suffering vile rebels to go on and seal their own destruction sure? What if He means to show His grace and His electing love employs to mark out some of mortal race and form them fit for heavenly joys? Shall man reply against the Lord and call His Maker's ways unjust, the thunder of whose dreadful word can crush a thousand worlds to dust? But, O my soul, if truths so bright should dazzle and confound thy sight, yet still His written will obey and wait the great decisive day. Then shall He make His justice known in the whole world before His throne. With joy or terror shall confess the glories of His righteousness. Please stand with me for prayer. Let us pray. Our God, we bless Thee. I bless Thee that Thou hast given me the eye of faith to see Thee as Father, to know Thee as covenant God, to experience Thy love planted in me. For faith is the grace of union by which I spell out my entitlement to Thee. Faith casts my anchor upwards where I trust in Thee and engage Thee to be my Lord. Oh, be pleased to live and move within me, breathing in my prayers, inhabiting my praises, speaking in my words, moving in my actions, living in my life, causing me to grow in Thy grace. Thy bounteous goodness has helped me to believe, but my faith is weak and wavering. Its light is dim, its steps tottering, its increase slow, its backslidings frequent. It should scale the heavens, but often lies groveling in the dust. O Lord, fan this divine spark into a glowing flame. When faith sleeps, my heart sometimes becomes an unclean thing, the fount of every loathsome desire, the cage of unclean lusts, all fluttering to escape, the noxious tree of deadly fruit, the open wayside of earthly tares. O Lord, awake faith to put forth its strength until all heaven fills my soul and all impurity is cast out. In Jesus' name, amen.